Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, dudes? Another exciting week in PC gaming.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to do the name thing this time. We did it last week. Yeah. We don't need to do it every week. You know who we are.
We're famous.
Yeah.
Infamous, maybe. I got a game this week.
Cool.
So we're gonna do this. I was sad to say that I watched some Veronica Mars because it's kind of like a nerd, kind of cult, kind of TV show. But then more recently, I was trying to get into those girls.
Well, you were really enjoying it, though, I thought.
I watched the first season was decent, and then the second season, I only got it one episode in, and I was like, I'm done with this.
But by the way, I couldn't get through half an episode. Or
yeah. Anyways, that's not the point. I also watched some Firefly with your girl. I tried to get her to watch the first episode, which she got about halfway through, so it wasn't all bad. But that led me to think, if you could pick one TV show to be the setting or the theme or the subject of a game, because I haven't seen any Firefly games.
Yeah.
I always think that's weird.
Let us think while you explain what Firefly is or the setting is.
Oh, okay. So if you've never watched Firefly, one, watch Firefly. It's on Netflix. But two, the setting of it, it's a space show, but it's also a Western. It's kind of a space Western where they're in the frontier kind of planets, so everything looks like kind of Wild West, and the guy wears like trench coats and, you know, hats, and they got, you know, holsters and all for, so it's kind of like a Western, but it's really good, but only made 14 episodes.
Yeah, only so now, one season, Joss Whedon.
But it got popular enough to make a movie, which was cool.
Well, it got really popular later. People really picked up on it.
So you guys, do you guys have a popular show or whatever? You don't watch a whole lot of TV, but maybe a movie, I guess you could, if you had to pick one. Just something that
maybe
you thought would be a cool game that's never happened.
I'm going to say something that's been done many times, but is there a good Star Trek game? Because I think I would really enjoy
that. The Star Trek Online got popular for a while.
It was shit, and then I hear it's pretty good now. But maybe if somebody did that really well, I don't know what it would take. Maybe
Artemis? We did Artemis a couple months ago.
Yeah, I think it was terrible. I was going to bring that up as a reference later on, too.
But there was that Star Trek game based off the newer J.J. Abrams Star Trek.
And that game, one?
Yeah, it's always on sale for like $3.
So it that's not a good sign.
Yeah, it did very badly. Yeah. But there's got to be a good Star Trek game out there somewhere, because they've been making Star Trek games for like 30 years.
It's too cooperative. Like in Star Wars, it's a lot of times one individual is doing something. But in Star Trek, it's always like a group of six or a group of eight.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe it should be multiplayer, but not massively. So that just, how many people do you need for a bridge? Is it like eight?
Well, we six played Artemis. Yeah. It was we got our ass kicked with two.
Maybe 6 to 8 online PvE. Like kind of like a Left 4 Dead kind of multiplayer.
Well, if you were gonna, yeah, if you were gonna do it, I'd make it like an MMO setup where everybody had their responsibilities, but you kind of were in a group where everybody's doing their actions to help contribute to the boss fight or whatever.
Yeah, so your raid.
Yeah, kind of like a raid.
Would be your group.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
But, like, everybody has their own, like...
And in, like, Dungeons & Dragons, you'd go to a central hub and maybe put your team together.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a really good communicator or whatever.
But it wouldn't be a movement-based, you know, because you're not moving.
Devs, listen up. This is fucking gold here.
How about you, Bobby? You got anything?
Not particularly, but I'll just throw something out there. A long time ago, there was a show called Fraggle Rock. And if you remember that show, there was these little creatures that would build things.
The dozers, right?
Were they called dozers? I can't remember their
name. That's all that's coming to mind right now.
They would build these structures that looked white and crystally, kind of like sugar. and I don't know, maybe you could, possibly. Could be drugs, but that's what the Fraggles ate, I believe. So, definitely I don't know, drugs. Maybe you could make some sort of city-building game from those characters, and then the Fraggles could be the natural disaster that come in and wipe it out.
Okay. Well, do you know what the whole premise behind that show was from the creators?
Drugs?
No.
How do you know Fraggle Rock lore?
I have read it recently. I don't know. Or heard it. Oh, I heard a podcast on Jim Henson.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
So, it was all about different races getting along and how they could get it. So, the Dozers were happy to just build these things, regardless of the... They weren't upset that the Fraggles were eating them. The Fraggles were eating them, and they were working off the Dozers. And then the Fraggles were becoming friendly with the humans and the dog. And so it was just showing that no matter how different we are, we could all get along. That kind of message is what they were sending out.
Okay. So symbiotic relationships.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought of another one I want. MXC, do you remember that show that was like, took footage of the, like the 70s, Japanese game shows? Do you remember that? It was hilarious.
Like Ninja Warrior, or but, are we going for the
back? No, it's like funny. Like they'll have a one where it's three doors. And only one of them is paper, and the guys just run full speed and hit the wall.
So it's Japanese game shows, but with American dubbing, but it was comedy.
It was
comedy. How would you make that a game, though?
You make it like an Olympic, you know, like the Olympics games, where there's a couple different events. And
it's all ridiculous.
Yeah, and the little guy comes over the top and says this ridiculous things as you eat shit. I think that would be fun. All right, anyways, let's get into some other stuff.
So what do we got? We got a winner for the review raffle, right?
Yep, another $20. We're getting broke over here, guys. congrats to Salufo. He used to contribute a bit more a couple months ago. I haven't seen him around, but I'm sure he still listens. So congrats. You're going to get your $20. Roll out. I haven't talked to you yet, but you're going to be getting yours as well. And if you want to enter in the future, just go to iTunes. We're giving away money over here. It's coming out our ears.
Yep.
And so just go there. And
Steam money, we should say.
Yeah.
Which is just as good as real money.
Yeah, pretty much, except for...
For us PC gamers.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much, if anybody asks me what I want, I go, look at my Steam list, or wish list, and they go, what's Steam? And I'm like, oh, geez.
If somebody that's PC gamer says, what's Steam, then help them out. They're still very, very new at this.
Yeah. So, congrats. Just leave us a review on iTunes, and you're always entered. Streaming. I stuck to my schedule this week.
Did you do every day?
Every day. 10 to noon, but I ended up doing 10 to 1 because I'm so into Mad Max, but more on that later. It's fun. I enjoy it. I thought it was going to be maybe a little nervous or apprehensive or whatever, but I'm kind of a show-off, so I like to show off. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice to have people... And then
just make sure you're talking, because a lot of times people game and they're just completely silent.
Yeah, I thought that's how I was going to be, and I wasn't. Like it seemed pretty natural right off the bat, so I was enjoying that. Definitely need more viewers, though. I think maximum I got up to was 6.
Yeah, that's not terrible for
100.
First week. For first week.
Yeah.
Viewers. What are you using to stream? Still NVIDIA Shadowplay?
Yeah, Shadowplay, and it seems great. I don't see any issues with it.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Yeah, super easy.
Yeah, so you use three buttons, maybe, and to actually start streaming, Alt F8, and I'm good. I just got to make sure to turn that shit off, because once you stop playing the game, it's still going.
So, well, if you have it to record your desktop.
Wait, what?
If you have it to record your desktop, then it will.
Please don't do that. Oh, God. Get us kicked off of Twitch.
Yeah, we're right on to my free cams.
Yeah.
I heard recently that you got kicked off of Twitch. Step into my shitty ass office.
Oh, man.
Boy.
You can record just the game. If it's anything like OBS, you can record just the game.
Yeah, there's just a button that you click that will tell it to just record the game, and then anytime you exit out of it, even if you Alt-Tab, it will stop streaming. It actually doesn't stop streaming, it pauses it, which is nice.
Yeah, there's a checkbox for record desktop, but I have that turned on because even with that, I don't think I can... I've been trying to stream Biden and Isaac. I think that would be fun for people to watch. more so than Mad Max, where there's spoilers involved, yeah. and, you know, and I'm progressing, like, I'm just on a mission right now, so it's not really the best material for that. So, but yeah, I can't get Binding of Isaac to stream, even though I can get my desktop to stream. It's weird.
It does change per game. Some games you do have to record the desktop, and you know, some of that may be due to your monitor as well. Mm-hmm. But one thing I wish they would really include in NVIDIA Shadow Play is to allow you to place the webcam picture wherever you want. You can choose a corner and a size, and that's it, but you can't place it otherwise.
Well, where else would you want it? In the middle?
Well, you know, maybe it depends on the game, because sometimes that'll cover up the UI. I mean, there's almost always something in the corner. I like to scoot it over just a little bit, but it doesn't let you resize it other than just, you know, small, medium, or large. And so I'd like a little more flexibility there, but I think it's still in beta, so hopefully they start making big changes like that.
I can only imagine, you know, I go to your stream and it's just your face real big in the middle. Welcome to the Robbie Digital Show, everybody.
That'd be the worst part of my stream.
Please don't use that voice. I can hate that one.
All right, so what times are you streaming again? You're streaming 10 to 2?
10 to 12 weekdays, Tuesday through Friday.
Pacific Standard Time.
Pacific Standard Time.
Daylight? What do we have?
Yeah.
And that's DL Gaming, DOT Net.
Yep, on Twitch.
Cool.
So and sometimes you might see our podcast streamed if we are up to it. Maybe.
It's weird. Let us know what you guys think. Like last week, we streamed it, but hardly any, so it doesn't really matter. I don't know. It affects the podcast, we all felt.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got distracted and I was the only one talking. And,
yeah. Yeah, too much going on.
So, the gigantic... Are all three of us in Gigantic?
No, I'm not.
You are now, buddy. You are now.
So Gigantic sent an email to all the people that are already in it, giving each of them 4 keys, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
So we have 6 or 7.
6 or 7, probably, yeah.
Because we're going to give Bobby one.
Nice. Have they lifted the NDA on this?
No, they have not. So we have both played, but we cannot talk about it. But if you guys are interested in Gigantic...
And Which you should
like,
be.
And would like a key...
It's fun.
Who should they message?
Me.
So go ahead and message Ender's Logic on Steam.
It's actually, no, just email me. Emilio@dlgaming.net.
Emilio@dlgaming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Emilio. And I'm on there every day. And they agreed to an interview already, but it's just all about timing.
Yeah.
Trying to zero down a day for that. It's a good game, though. I'm not going to get into it, but...
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And so let's get into some games.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Oops. So,
Bob, go ahead. Because I have too much to say. I got to read my notes, actually.
Okay. Yeah, well, I picked up Mad Max. I got it on G2A for $18. It was...
Damn.
It does not make any sense. Yeah,
I have no idea what the Metacritic is. This could be a shit.
The Metacritic is 75 last I checked for the Metacritic score, and I think the user score was very different, like 90 or 85 or something like that. But I picked it up off of G2A.com for $18, which is a great price, and that was including the Ripper DLC, which you got for pre-purchasing.
Can we agree that's probably the best deal in gaming right now?
Which one?
Mad Max for $18.
Oh, yeah.
That's a triple A title.
Yeah. We'll get into that. But okay. 70 on Metascore is...
No, that's the PS4 one. 73.
73 for the PC.
But the user score gave it an 8.7.
What the fuck?
Yeah. No, definitely for that price. Because really the only thing worth playing right now is Phantom Pains. And you're looking $60. I think Green Man Gaming is having a deal on Phantom Pains, maybe. I keep calling it Phantom Pains because of Ground Zeroes. Like, I'm starting to pluralize everything. Like Bioshock Infinite.
I was trying to figure out what you were talking about. The Phantom Pains.
That's what it's like to be Mexican. They put a floor on everything. You guys want to go to Juan's?
Heroes of the Storms.
Storms.
But yeah, I grabbed it off of G2A.com. What the hell was that talking? Oh, Phantom Pain. Yeah, you can get Phantom Pain, I think, on Green Man Gaming for maybe 20% off. They got some deal, but still, you're paying a lot of money for that. So for $18, I was like, that's where I'm going to be doing this week.
And you had no issue getting the game putting it on Steam or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, no problem. But, you know, my GTA 5 experience, maybe somewhere down the line I'll have an issue. But hopefully not. Everything seemed legit. Got it from a good seller.
That's great.
Great rating. Yeah. So, I mean, let's talk about the gameplay itself. I know a lot of people were saying that they didn't have any problems with bugs or anything. I had some weird audio issues with it.
Excuse me again.
Like sorry. That?
Yeah.
Anything like that? Just
actually behind, very similar mass explosions. I have a very sharp, loud sound at the whenever I load the game up, and then occasionally that will come back in. I also have some weird issues with character models just popping in and falling down from the sky, and just weird little things, but nothing game-breaking. Nothing that's a major issue. Just small, tiny things.
I haven't ran into one bug.
Yeah, that's so weird. Like, and that's what everyone's saying, is this game runs so smoothly on the PC, but I've had weird little things with Mad Max.
But you have a... Have you bought the 980 yet?
Yeah, I have a 980 Ti that I'm running. Maybe it's just too much card for that game. I don't know.
Sure.
But the gameplay, so we talked a little bit about it yesterday. Emilio, what's your read on the gameplay? How do you feel about that?
I feel like it's Batman Arkham City, pretty much, with a Mad Max skin on it. Obviously, you're not flying around with grapple hooks, but generally what you're doing is you're getting high in an area, you're surveying the area a la Far Cry.
Yeah.
And then the combat is very Batman, very like punch, punch, parry, punch, punch, parry. Mm-hmm.
You can hold for a heavy punch.
For a heavy attack, yeah.
And you also have ranged weapons too, right?
Right, but one of the great things about this game is you only have two shotgun shells. That's all you carry on you at the beginning.
Yeah.
So the way you use those two shotgun shells are very, very important.
Yeah, it's like two special moves you can use in a fight. I mean, you can reload it, but it takes too long. You can't do it mid-fight.
Yeah. I'm to the point where my shotgun has four barrels now, so I have four shots. But, you know, and that's just one of the many things that I like about this game. When I upgraded my barrels, you can literally see the more barrels. Every kind of upgrade has a visual. Okay, so most games, up your damage by 20%, up your damage 30%. This has this, but this all comes with visual cues. So he's bolting on bolts to his wrist guards and his wrist. He has basically brass knuckles on his gloves, and they keep getting bulkier and bulkier. He has more and more metal every time you upgrade.
Not only on the character, but on the car as well.
On the car as well. Anything you do to your car, you can visually see as you do it. Your armor, you go from a undercoat, or like a, what is it called, long johns, to all the way to a leather jacket, and then past that, you have like a tactical vest. And all of that is, I know there's a lot of games that show your upgrades, but this is incremental upgrades, all of them shown pretty much, except for if it's something under the hood. You can't see that. Although
you can see some of that stuff.
Yeah, the metal. I mean, the engine. You can actually see the upgrades to the engine because there's a hole.
Oh, gotcha.
And you can see the carburetor. The carburetor is different on every upgrade. Mm-hmm. Man, I fucking really love this game.
I've heard the story was a little flat.
I kind of liked it. Okay, so does
like the beginning part? You're just building your vehicle up, right?
The entire story is: I need a kick-ass car. The most powerful guy in the region has all the good parts. I'm going to get them from him. That's it. That's pretty much it. No more story than that. Obviously, these little things pop up, side stories and stuff, but that is the overall, and I'm cool with that because the story is in the actions. That's the way I feel. Like, how do you go about taking down the biggest guy in the region? Just like I said, the story is in the actions that you take, not so much. So that's, you probably won't enjoy it as much. I like it because the narrative is in my actions.
It's kind of like MMOs for us. I would only do quests. I would go do quests, come back, do more quests. You would rather spend all day just shooting things.
Just shooting things, yeah.
And that kind of sounds like Mad Max is.
Yeah,
you're spending all day shooting things because there is no real story. It's just you building your car.
Anytime there's a cutscene, it's like, I need this, you need that. Go do that, and I'll do this. Okay. And then that's it. That's pretty much it. Not complicated at all. Love it. Bob?
The story is a little weird to me. I can't really get what they're going for just yet. I know I've got to get to Gastown. I'm only about 5 hours into the game, so I probably haven't gotten a lot of it yet. But yeah, I've got to get into Gastown, and to do that, I need a big, badass car. But in the opening cutscene, you kill the big villain.
I don't think he's dead.
I don't think he's dead.
Okay, well, you put a chainsaw in his head.
Only halfway through his head.
And they're mutants.
Through the fucking brain.
They're also mutants.
The intro kind of hints, or it seems to hint to me, that he is he says something like present tense instead of past tense or something. It makes he's still alive.
Because all his goons are still wandering the lands, and you got to deal with them. And I don't know if they're just, you know, still enforcing his will posthumously, or if, like, he's still alive, or what exactly is going on there. But I'm like, opening scene, you run a chainsaw through the dude's head. Nobody's walking out of that, no matter how tough this guy is. But we'll see where they go with that. But yeah, there's a lot of quests, and it's a lot of like the same thing. Like, I need this. I need something to make bullets. I need this guy to make the bullets for me. I need you to get me this part over here. There's a lot of fetching involved.
But they also seem... they don't seem far-fetched fetching quests, if you will. You know what I mean? It's like they all seem like they would be in real life. You know, if you were they all seem plausible, I guess.
Yeah, but there's really nothing gripping about it. I mean, I'm gonna I'm just gonna say, like, the story is not the game's strong point
for sure,
by any means.
Absolutely,
and probably not the voice acting either. I was very confused by that. I mean, I'm assuming this takes place in Australia, like most of the Mad Max movies. And not only do some people not have Australian accents, but I'm pretty sure this one person in Jeets, I believe his name is, in his base, like, I bumped past someone and, like, they literally said something almost like, hey, I'm walking here, like in a Brooklyn accent. And I was like, what the fuck?
You gotta imagine if some apocalypse happens, somebody's gonna be traveling.
We're talking about these are the last people on Earth, though. You know, so you're not just going to get on the Australians.
Well, I think they kind of drop, and you can do this in a video game movie, like, you can just drop someone into a scenario and they know everything about the environment already. The setting's already established. We know Mad Max is post-apocalyptic. We know what happened. I do like how you can find relics and artifacts, and that gives you a little bit of insight into the past and kind of how that transformation happened. That's something I don't know if you ever really got that much into in the movies. Well, maybe in the first one, but I don't know.
We really don't know what. I mean, I guess bombs went off, right? Nukes.
That's yeah, what we're
they just talk about some.
Yeah, but not just. What I really like about those artifacts, which are basically just pictures, mm-hmm. and then you turn them over and something's written on the back. Not only is it how things were and how things were in between, but also Mad Max's thoughts on that little thing. He'll say something a lot of times. Mm-hmm. He'll be like, "Oh, back when they didn't care about water," or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, I like everything about it. So I have a few things here that I wanted to mention what I really like. I like the setting, because they could have just said, okay, here's a desert, and that's it, and we're done, right? But no, it's not a desert. It's an ancient sea. So the rocks you're hitting are coral, mm-hmm. and so the car breaks right through coral and stuff. And a lot of the settings are boats. And so you're basically driving through the ocean, but the water's all gone. And so you could have taken it easy and just done a desert, but this is far more interesting, even though it is very, very bleak and maybe two colors total, the whole thing. Yeah. So there is that. I think that adds a lot to it. Bob, have you taken down a convoy yet?
No, I've ran into convoys, but I have not taken them down. Yeah.
It's probably my favorite thing in the game to do. It's most reminiscent of the actual latest movie.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, they got the main big rig that's taking all the gas, and then it has like maybe five, six support vehicles, and you got to, like, take care of them. However you do it, this is all on you. There's no... however you want to do it, that's you figure it out. You could jump straight in, but usually it's not going to work. It took me probably 3 or 4 attempts until I could actually do it and figure out a process of doing it.
And they show the road where the convoy is going to be, so you have a rough idea. Like, if that's what you want to do, it's not like you just randomly run into them, although sometimes that happens as well, but you can go out and seek them by following a certain path.
Yeah, and what's even cooler is they're... they're buffed by a hood ornament, all the convoys, and once you blow them up, you get that hood ornament, and you can put it on your car and get that buff.
Oh.
Be it better handling or better top speed, stuff like that.
That's cool.
But again, visually represented on your car, and you put one on front and one on back, which is cool. Sandstorms. Bob, have you seen one of these yet?
Yeah, I've been through a sandstorm accidentally. Didn't work out.
they completely changed the game. If you're chasing down a convoy, if you're on a mission, you need to stop and you need to hide. These things are, they completely, it's a different game when there's a sandstorm. What happens is...
Well, you know, I should correct that. I've been driving... I actually accidentally drove into a sandstorm one time. But I've been in bases where a sandstorm is coming. And then, yeah, you just have to find shelter, hang out there for a minute and let it pass. But I drove through it once and it just tears you to shreds.
Tears your car. Yeah. There's bit... Okay, money in this game is just metal, right? And there's metal...
Spare parts. Or
spare parts. And metal's flying through the air when this things happen, right?
Yeah.
So
it's a high risk, high reward.
High risk, high reward. There's a couple things going on here. It's coming from one direction. So you want to put a wall
like
on
the
your...
band?
Sure. You want to put a wall on one side of you to protect you from the sandstorm. But all the gear is hitting the right... another side. It's all hitting... All the scrap is flying into a wall opposite of where you're hiding. Does that make any sense?
Okay.
Because it's all flying in one direction.
Gotcha.
So you have to risk going into the sandstorm and getting this stuff. But yeah, you have to abandon everything. It's like I just said, it's almost like a random thing that happens that, oh, I'm not playing Mad Max now. I'm playing the sandstorm game. Because you have to abandon whatever the fuck you were doing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Are they frequent?
Not too frequent. And then they get more intense. But I don't want to, not too many spoilers. Warcrier. The only time I've laughed this whole game. This game is super serious.
Yeah.
Warcriers are, if you've seen the movie. Bob, did you see the movie?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think, by the way?
Oh, the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was my favorite movie this year. I'm pretty sure.
We had
this
argument.
I've said that before.
Yeah.
We had this argument.
I know if you thought that way.
We had an argument with a buddy of ours. Emilio said it was the best movie of the year, and he laughed because Emilio thinks everything's the best movie of the year or the best game of the year or whatever. And what did he say? Minions? He was
Minions?
He couldn't come up with him. That guy doesn't like anything. So.
Yeah. I haven't seen Minions yet, but I'm pretty sure Fury Road is better than it.
So the guy that plays the guitar, he's kind of the war crier, right? Mm-hmm. So every base you go into has a war crier. He's a guy that sits up. He's on a string, and he just beats the drum, and he tells everybody, and they get amped up.
Yeah,
unless you take care of him, right?
He's like a hype man. He's like Flavor Flav.
Yeah, exactly. But look at the jokes from Bob. Couple times I've laughed out loud at this guy.
You can put that on my gravestone, by the way.
What? Hype man?
No.
Extraordinary.
Kind of like Flavor Flav.
Oh, exactly. Couple things. So I killed... Before I knew that you had to kill him first, I killed him last.
Yeah.
So he's just sitting there. He has no guns. He just has two things to beat the drum. And he's sitting there afterwards and he's like, hey, you need a war crier? He's like, been at it for years. I'm really good at it. And then
Did you actually get him?
No, I killed him. And then the second time, I did the same thing and he had some more funny lines. It was really funny. And then another time, a sandstorm hit while he's hanging from a rope. This dude's spinning like a top, dude. He lost his sticks. And it's not, none of this is scripted. So it's the most random, like, oh my God, it was so fucking funny.
I think that's the great thing about this game is it is unscripted. They give you objectives and they give you problems. And there's so many different ways that you can go about solving them.
A couple more things and I'll be done, I promise. The sidekick, you got a little minion that helps you.
Yeah, I didn't know about that until I watched you play.
I love everything about him.
The animations are really cool with him.
Yeah.
He's hanging on the back of your vehicle while you're driving.
Yeah, you're upgrading him. You're upgrading your car. Again, you can see that stuff right away. His dialogue, not annoying, changes all the time. Many, many, many lines. And he warns you about things that you don't see. You're driving. Mm-hmm. You're not looking left, back, behind you. He's telling you relevant information. Even if you're passing up some treasure or something, you'd be like, hey, you know, in his own little weird way, he'll tell you where that is. That
so he's kind of like the guy that's in the movie, right? Because in the movie, the Mad Max, the guy like joined their Convoy.
Oh, the war. Oh,
he was the guy who went around.
Yeah, I guess he's not really. Yeah. This guy's a Blackfinger, which means
a thief?
No, a
mechanic?
Mechanic.
Yeah. He's got spark plugs for earrings.
And the combos. You seem to throw the same basic combo over and over and over, but the finishers, I'm probably 30 hours into this game and I'm still seeing new shit constantly.
That's cool.
Not every fight, obviously, they can't do that, but I would say within every five fights, I see something brand new and it's brutal. It's always brutal. The only downside to this game that there's a couple of little things I won't bring up, but the one is you don't seem very mad. You actually seem like the most sane person out there. I haven't seen anything attributing to your madness except for your sidekick sometimes says, are you in one of your long journeys inside your head? That's the only thing he ever said.
There is a weird guy that you get character upgrades from, Griffa. And he's like this spiritual-looking dude who just appears in the desert and blows dust in your face. And then
It's drugs, Wally.
Yeah.
Anytime you want to upgrade in...
That's the second time this podcast we said it's drugs. Because we were talking about Fraggle Rock.
Yeah.
And their cocaine piles.
Drugs are everywhere.
Yep.
Seriously.
But no, seriously. Did you guys see... What was the one... Oh, jeez. What is the Western movie by the guy who does Family Guy?
Oh, Million Ways to Die?
Yeah, yeah. So in that, he's going through troubles, goes to the Indians, they give him drugs, and then everything's better, right? And he goes, thanks for giving me drugs, and he drives away, right? Or rides away on his horse. So many times in movies, it's bigger 80s trope than it is now, but somehow, they would find the tribe would give them drugs, and then they get better, and then in video games, it happens, but then in real life, no credits, drugs. It's like, don't ever do drugs.
Except for us.
Yeah.
We're all about it.
So,
just a little side note. Last week, you said Mad Max, awesome. You like Metal Gear Solid, but...
Right. But, I didn't touch it again, so I can't say.
I'm just looking at Metacritic. Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, has 95 points on Metacritic.
I'm sure it's a great game. It just didn't grab me the way that Mad Max did.
A little side note, because Bobby loves visual novels. Number 6 on the list of current PC games with a 87 Metacritic is Her Story.
Yeah, I bought that last week, too. I haven't played it yet.
And it is considered a genre of visual novels. And one of the biggest discrepancies, 87 by critics and 5.9 by users. So
whoa!
Yeah,
I've heard really good things about this game.
5.9 is like a 60, though. I mean, it's not crazy, but...
27, 28 points?
What'd you say, Bob?
I bought this game about a week ago. It was on sale on a Humble Bundle store. And I got it because a lot of people have been talking about this game. Not just the reviews, but some other sources were saying that it was really good, really different. So I'm excited to try it out, but I haven't really had time to just sit down and get into it.
Piecing together a mystery through videotape?
They said it's a non-linear crime fiction game that revolves around police database full of live-action video footage. So, like, actual actors are...
Yeah. One actor, one actress, I think.
Well, if I play it this week, it's on my account, so if you guys want to play it...
That sounds like the worst thing ever, but...
I don't know. I mean,
you're the one always running around talking about stories.
This is true.
Yeah. It's actually like a CSI story, most likely.
And I do love crime stuff. I don't know. It doesn't feel like a game to me. It looks like a choose-your-own-adventure or something.
Well, I've heard it was kind of like a desktop simulator, too. Like, you're navigating around this old computer and pulling up these video files there, and you can get information that way as well. But
it's kind of interesting. Maybe you have access to a detective's computer, and you're trying to solve the case.
Maybe.
That kind of sounds cool. I'm not going to play it, though.
I knew you weren't going to play it. All right, what else did we play?
Sorry about that long. I haven't been into a game this much into a long time. So
other than games you've talked about relentlessly, like Skyrim and Binding of Isaac and Hearthstone,
which are all over a year ago.
Yeah.
So thanks.
Yeah.
All right.
You're welcome.
All right, I talked too much. Somebody else.
I tried to get into a game called Otherworld, which is an MMO that came out early access today, I think, this week certainly, and I couldn't get in to play it because you get into the game and it says enter your email address and we'll send you confirmation, please exit the game. Like, it won't let you get in a game until you get this email. And I waited around for 4 hours and never got an email. I asked them to resend it like 8 times. Like,
jeez.
Yeah, so I'm a little frustrated with that, but maybe next week when I actually get a chance to play it, I will tell you about it.
I want
to
play more Trove with you, honestly.
All
right. We haven't played it since that first night.
Yeah, Trove was fun, but it was disposable. It was disposable fun.
Sure.
Yeah,
it sounded kind of like your mom.
My mom?
Yeah.
Okay. Diablo, you want to mention what's going on with Diablo?
Yeah, I've been playing more of it. Diablo 3, Reaper of Souls, the expansion. Not quite. I mean, as much as I've been playing it, I could put it down at any moment. I really haven't touched it in the last couple of days since I've been playing Mad Max, so I don't know if I'm going to continue to, but I'm coming around on the game. I kind of see the appeal a little bit more, and I understand why people do the seasonal characters to get on the leaderboards. I guess back in Diablo 2, it was all about the leaderboards. You know, they actually rated each character based on how much, I don't know, XP they were grinding, or like their gear or whatever. But now the leaderboards are reset pretty much every 6 months, and they are only the seasonal characters show up on there. So I guess that is the allure of all that. But I don't know. It's a game that you can easily get bored of because you do the same thing over and over again. But if you put it on the right difficulty, it can be kind of fun. And I've been playing with people, so that changes it too a lot. I think, you know, we've said this before, that when you play a game with someone, it makes it so much better. Like, yeah. The shittiest game playing with your friends can actually be tolerable.
Yeah, and speaking to which, there's games that are built exactly for that. And Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time is that. I'm just going to call it Lovers until we wrap on this. Jack, go ahead. You tell me what you think. I played it more, but I'm curious to hear what you said.
So it's... What kind of game would you describe it, first of all?
It's built from the ground up. It's a roguelike. It's a roguelike because you get to keep some of your upgrades every time.
Okay.
It has roguelike parts to it. It's hard to explain. You're flying around in a spaceship. Okay, it's super colorful.
Yeah.
We're very, I think, a little bit too much. Almost where it's like turns me off
like
a
little bit.
Yeah, Chad's a lovey-dovey guy. Yeah. It's super lovey. It's pink. It's all pastels. It's
rainbows.
Hearts, psychedelic-ish stuff.
The music's good.
Really
good. It's very like rave.
Very enjoyable. If you're not going to play this with a friend, I cannot. This is for you and a buddy or you and a girl. I played it with my girlfriend. It's the perfect game for us. It is. It's really fun and it's pretty simple. It's about management of resources.
A little bit.
Yeah. That makes it sound like you're accumulating resources. All I mean is there's 6 stations in your spaceship.
More. 4 directions.
Seven.
Drive, shield, the thing that spins around.
8.
And then the map.
Yeah.
8.
So there's 8 stations, only 2 pilots. And so you need to run around and be at the right thing at the right time.
It's kind of like FTL in that respect. Remember where you would have to manage where your people
are? I guess so. But it's
limited resources, so how many do you put to your engine?
Yeah, for sure. But it's action. It's not... time to
There's
think.
No pause.
Yeah, and we're lucky. We never ran into each other. It was my fault every time it happened with Sam, but...
Oh, you can actually run into each other?
Well, if I try to get on a station that you're at, because I'm looking at the enemies and not the stations...
Oh, gotcha.
We both explode.
And are you serious?
And you start at the beginning, and you have to run to the stations again. It's shitty. So, I think it's great. Chad, you only saw the first and maybe this half of the second level.
Yeah.
It gets more and more inventive. So one person's piloting, then you have a shield, then you have a gun on each side of your ship, then you have a map, and then you have a super gun that needs to recharge, and that's pretty much it. But then besides that, you're thinking about planets,
there's
orbits. Orbits of the planets that suck you in, and kind of, so the pilot has to drive around that. Then there's these things you haven't seen. There, I think, I guess they're kind of like gravity wells, and they grow and shrink, and then there's asteroids, and there's enemies on top of all of this, and it's just chaos. But, you know, you have a very capable ship if you had five people on your crew, but there's only two of you, so you're running around constantly. You got to be telling what each of you want to do. I like it a lot. It's very highly recommended by me.
And yeah, I was having a good time. And yeah. I can definitely see the appeal for the co-op to just sit there and play. You get your role. It's exciting that you're moving around and you're trying to do it, but it's not like super... it's not overwhelming. So, like, people that aren't super into games could probably play this.
Yeah, because it's really simple. It's basically a D-pad and two buttons. Pretty much is all that's going on. But a lot more is going on as far as what you're doing with that.
And it was 10% off this week. I think it was 13 like bucks. 13 bucks.
Yeah. I have a free copy. I don't know how we're going to give that away.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. I'll figure something out. I might throw something up on the Steam group. So, yeah, just a big... If you have one friend to play it with, definitely try it out. This might be my favorite two-player co-op since Portal 2, I would say.
That includes Binding of Isaac.
Yeah. Wow. The balancing is just kind of weird on that.
Yeah. Cool.
Yep.
Oh, all right. I should probably get up our show notes, shouldn't I?
Yeah, what else we got here?
Oh, I played some KOTOR. So I've never played Star Wars The Knights of the Old Republic. Bobby's got it, so I installed it just to kind of see, because it's regarded as one of the best games of all time. Well,
the
right?
first one or the second one?
The first one.
Oh. I thought the second one was better.
I don't know. Yeah,
I haven't played the first one. I've only played a little bit of the second one, but I thought the general consensus was the second one was better.
So I booted it up and gave it a go. I put an hour or two into it just because I had some time today. I can definitely see why people really liked it. Like, it's really well done for its time. It's kind of funny though. It mentions like die roll. Like it tries to be really close to like a tabletop game.
Hmm.
Like it tells you your feat. You know, because it's based off D20 Dungeons and Dragons. I think like the way it's set up. They've got feats and skills and all. And so
it was a long time ago since I tried this game.
Well, I think at the time that was normal. Like, yeah. Because the PC games at that time were imitating tabletop and board games.
Right.
So they were mentioning D20 and stuff like that because that was the way you explained it. But then people realized, hey, you can hide all that in the background and talk to your fans more in layman's terms. And so I don't think you see that anymore. But I thought that was interesting that they really kept it true to the tabletop games.
And the story and the interactions is really where it's at, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and the control scheme is nice. It's kind of intuitive because I'm playing on mouse and keyboard, so I was a little concerned. But the control scheme was really nice.
It's Mass Effect before Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Right?
Basically. But it's got the kind of pause mechanic. When you get into combat, it pauses, mm-hmm. and you can put actions. And then, so you don't control your guy once you get into fight, other than what actions he's doing.
Kind of like turn-based.
Similar to how like Fallout is. You know, you can pause and do your shots or whatever.
I tried to go back to this game. Actually, I think it was Knights of the Old Republic 2. And I tried to go back and play with the graphics. I mean, the first one came out in 2003. So the graphics on this game are just heavily dated. And there's
I agree with you completely. But I wasn't finding the graphics to be, like, unbearable.
No, I think there's been some huge patches between when you played and when you played.
Well, there's a lot of mod support. I don't know about the first one, but for the second one, there's a ton of mod support. I spent about half an hour trying to get the game up to snuff just with, like, all the mods that were recommended to kind of bring it up to date and just make it look a little bit better. But I had so much trouble getting it to work. But I don't know. If you put in the time, you can get this game to look decent, and the gameplay is there. I mean, it is a good game.
I was talking to... I forget who I was talking to. He said that there's actually a podcast still on Knights of the Old Republic.
Wow.
And he said that he actually is in a guild that people are still around on. He asked me what server.
Wait, it's online?
That's what he made it sound like.
Oh, he's probably talking about the online game. Knights of the Old Republic, that's what it's called.
No, he's
right?
Talking about the Old Republic. Wait. Yeah, the Old Republic. Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yeah.
SW Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there is a podcast on that.
Jawas
something. Can't remember the name of it.
That's the MMO based on this game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the
I gotcha.
So are you going to keep playing it, do you think?
I really kind of want to get into this other world because I've been itching to play an MMO again.
You're always itching. I'm telling you, man, it's over. Until EverQuest comes out, maybe. That's the only thing I'm hoping out.
I hate to tell you about this, but it's probably one of the most popular genres there are.
What, MMO?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're going strictly by numbers.
Not new ones.
Yeah.
Not new ones.
Think about all the MMOs. What was that one that we played a few months ago? I can recall.
Skyforge?
Yeah, Skyforge. Yeah,
I still have it sitting at my comp. I kind of want to play, but
Nobody wants to play it with you.
No, it wasn't really an MMO in my mind.
Mm.
It was just basically
you just ran too many instances. And it was a lot like Dragon Nest.
Yeah.
Very repetitive.
So I played a couple of mobile games this week. Just really quickly going to run through it. Happy Wheels is one of these 2D kind of like South Park looking games. It's a physics game. Kind of like Mount Your Friends, but you're a guy running around on a Segway, and you die a lot. Okay. And it's really gruesome, and very difficult, and fun, and free. So why not? Star Wars Uprising is Diablo with the Star Wars.
Cool.
Yeah, and it's good. It's really good.
And
it's free to play. Yeah. I only played 10 minutes of it, so they haven't hit me up for money yet, but... Yeah, just Diablo with Star Wars, and I'm sold. And then the ratings on it, it's like 4.5 stars with thousands of reviews. So they did a good job. I think now that Disney took over, I think it's a new level of entry for Star Wars. If you're going to make something Star Wars, I think it's going to have to be fucking legit. No more. Not to say Dark Horse Comics was bad stuff, but they kind of just started writing stuff because nobody else was.
I think it put life back into the franchise. I mean, right before they sold it to Disney, the big plan that they were doing was re-releasing the prequels in 3D. And I went and saw the first one in 3D again. And they had plans to release Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith in 3D, but Disney bought them out, said, nope, fuck that, we're going to do something completely different. And yeah, ever since then, it's just like everything that's been coming out has been good. Can't wait for the movie.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Fuck anybody that doesn't think that the third one was a bad movie. That was a good movie.
What, Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah, Revenge of the Sith was a good movie. A really good movie.
Yeah, it all came together.
I don't know. It ruined my childhood characters, so I couldn't... I will never say any of those movies are good.
Why did you say fuck anybody that said that? So fuck you.
Okay.
All right, so listener questions.
Yeah, Clown Lotion asked if there was any problems with NVIDIA cards upgrading to Windows 10. Apparently, he did some research and ran into something. I haven't had any issues.
I haven't had a single issue with Windows 10.
No, I haven't had a problem either. I know initially, like when it first came out, there was a problem, but then NVIDIA fixed it with a driver update. But as of now, speaking from experience, none of us have had any sort of problems with that.
We're talking about millions and millions of upgrades. Of course, people are going to run into some.
Well, and the other thing is,
I wouldn't be apprehensive, though.
Early adopters are just going to get fucked. If you're an early adopter, you just got to realize you're going to get fucked.
Like, well, we did it, and we're fine.
We did it like 3 or 4 weeks after it came out.
But still, within a month, that's pretty soon. But I don't know if they've solved this yet, but there wasn't any SLI support for the longest time. There probably is by now. I mean, they don't let that stuff slide for very long. NVIDIA is really good about their driver support.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good, too, but I can't speak to that. Maybe maybe they're not as bad as I think, but I know NVIDIA is known for just having...
You haven't had an AMD in forever, though.
No. Well, I had AMD forever until about 5 years ago when I made the switch to NVIDIA, but...
I know that shadow play is so nice. All of the different little things you can do with it. I'm sure AMD has something comparable now, but who knows? I don't know. I'm just a fanboy for it, I guess.
Well, my card previous to this 970 was
an AMD. Yeah.
Well, so like, I had the equivalent, whatever that one that was called for the AMD.
I think you had a 4570 or something, but...
No, I meant the equivalent of Shadow Play.
Oh, they have like a third... You can get that software package, I think, even if you don't have an AMD card. I can't remember what it's called at the moment.
Yeah, me neither.
But, yeah, you know, I haven't had an AMD card for a while, but it's kind of like iPhones and Androids. You just get comfortable with one, and then that's just what you get.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they're both quality.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So, some news?
Yeah, let's talk about some news.
Dota 2 is now on Source 2 since the, what was that patch called? Reborn patch?
Yeah, the Reborn patch.
Yeah. We took a look at some before and after.
Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot different. Looks a lot crisper to me. They're taking away a lot of the fog effect, which I think they were saving on polys there. So there's less fog, and they had to detail a lot more. So instead of in the jungle, there's clouds. Now there's actually plants, and you can see the plants. And that was pretty much it. It wasn't a huge thing. But the good thing about this is Source 2 is now up and running. So now people can mod it and or write things for it, and maybe we'll see the next Counter-Strike soon.
So, you know, this is a Valve thing, so you got to imagine Team Fortress 2 is going to be going to Source 2 at some point, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it needs to. I mean, really, do the graphics on TF2 need to improve?
Well, they're going to be trying to pump Source 2, so that's why they're putting all their games to Source 2 to make sure to show people the advantages of it. TF2 is one of the most popular games on there, so you got to imagine that they were going to do...
Does it need better graphics? No. But if their graphics were nicer without touching anything else?
But how would the graphics be nicer? Like, if you put TF2 on Source 2, I can't imagine it looking any different.
I don't know. I'm just saying...
Well, even Dota 2 didn't look very different, but that's probably not the best game to showcase this, because everything's just so small, and you're viewing from...
I thought Dota 2 graphics were really good already. This just looked different. It didn't, to me, seem better. It just looked different.
For me, it looked the difference between 720 and 1080.
Yeah.
It's like just a slight sharpness adjustment. There we go.
Do we have any more?
I'll take one, too.
I don't know.
So, anything else on that, guys? There's not really much to say. We were underwhelmed.
Yeah, to say the least.
But Source 2 is now out, which I'm excited about. So, we'll just move on from there. GTA, it seems like they're focusing on more online stuff and less about DLC. So they're not doing DLC. They're so there's new stuff coming out for them. They're going to be having events and things that you could do during free play. That's that time when you're running around and you're not really, you're just fucking around.
You're just on the map.
You're just on the map with other players. They're going to be adding things. There's always going to be something going on. You can do it or you cannot do it. But it's somewhere for people to congregate, it sounds like.
Yeah. We brought 7.
Oh, man.
I told you to bring 8, and you brought 7.
Why would 2 people bring an odd number of beers?
I don't think that happened.
Because I told him to bring 8, and he said, I'm going to bring 6 because I got to drive later. And then I had an extra one, so I throw it in there.
You failed, Chad.
We're arguing about how many beers we brought over to Bobby's place, Chad. If you're wondering.
Okay. That's what Chad gets.
The Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, let's not make that a thing.
I don't know, I'm trying to.
No, let's not.
It took too long.
All right, Gary's Mod?
Gary's Mod is going to be...
The sequel?
The sequel is going to be VR. That seems like it'd be a good game for that.
Well, absolutely. Basically, there's not a game. It's not a game.
Yeah.
It's a game, or it's a visual world-building game, so obviously, yeah.
It is the definition of a sandbox.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not actually playing a game. You could, but basically you're just taking resources from other games, putting them into your world, and putting them in funny positions. Perfect for VR. I mean, basically, instead of being a screen in there, it's going to be your physical body in there, so you could potentially just grab things by their limbs and adjust them exactly the way you want, or tie 10 zombies to a rocket, which is the kind of stuff I used to do. I just watch them all fly around.
Here's what I don't know. Gary's Mod was a mod of Half-Life.
Yes.
So Gary's Mod 2, or sequel, or whatever this is.
It's probably going to be on Source 2.
is, but they haven't done a Half-Life equivalent, so it's not going to be matter. A... They're it's, building it from the ground up.
The way... If I'm looking at it right, I think it's just kind of like a god mode for VR. You go in there and you just do whatever your emotion...
But Gary's mod had all the physics and everything set up from Half-Life. He just modded it to do it. But for Gary's mod 2, are they going to start from the ground up? Are they making a game, so to speak? Or are they basing it off...
The great thing about Gary's mod is you could just... Anytime new resources pop up, you could just add them to the menu.
Yeah.
Right. Whatever. But if you're talking about the base physics, yeah, probably just based on
the same
source, maybe source 2 engine, because it's not coming out soon, so it's probably going to be the basic. Yeah.
But like all the stuff on there was all from Half-Life,
right?
Like the zombies and all the.
Yeah, it's probably going to be the same thing.
But there is no source 2 Half-Life. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, we'll see what comes along with Gary's mod too, because. I don't know if there really needs to be a sequel, but maybe there's something that we're missing. I mean, if VR is the only selling point of this, I mean, that's cool, but it's not that big of a deal. I'm sure they could add VR support to the initial Gary's mod if it doesn't already have it. You know, there's got to be something else that makes this worthwhile.
Yeah. Gary's mod is the definition of games I hate. Like, no objectives, no purpose, nothing.
Well,
that is like my...
People create their own games in it. Like, that's what I thought for the longest time, too. But then I actually got into it. I'm like, okay, they have a hide-and-go-seek server. They've got the most fun I've had in Gary's mod was playing...
Cops and Robbers or something, right?
No.
One where the ground is lava.
Kind of. I want to call it American Gladiators because you go through this, like...
Obstacle course,
and people on the other side watching you go through can trigger the traps to try and catch you, and you're just trying to like get through it. And if you get through it, then you win. It was pretty good, but of course, it's Gary's mod. It's something that somebody made, so there's all sorts of glitches and errors, and that's part of the fun. But it's just a playground, and your imagination is your only limitation.
Hmm. Yeah, that's why a lot of those childhood games. Are reimagined in Gary's mod, like Hide and Go Seek or Lava on the Floor.
Yeah.
It's like, that's where your mind naturally goes, mm-hmm. So then somebody just makes it in there.
Yeah, it's in a book. Take a look.
Whoa! It's reading Rainbow.
Did you want to talk about the top 10 for PC Gamer?
I don't have it up. We haven't brought it up.
Before we do that, I want to talk about the Deus Ex pre-order controversy, because I meant to talk about that last week, but... I don't know if you guys have even heard about this. Do you guys know about the pre-order issue?
I heard that the more people pre-order, the more stuff's given away for the pre-order.
Yeah, and we've seen that before. But the big deal about this one is the ultimate goal that you can achieve if enough people pre-order this game is the game is released 4 days earlier. And a lot of people are like, well, why don't you just release the game 4 days earlier? I mean, it'll be ready then, obviously. You know, why... Why do that? I don't know. To me, it's like, I don't really give a shit, but I don't know.
People that are making that argument don't understand how the process works. Like, games get shipped to GameStop a week early. That's why people get early releases and you see people on 5 days early and stuff like that. That's just the nature of the beast. There's so many moving parts. You can't shoot for everything being delivered the day before it comes out.
But if they reach this goal, then the game comes out 4 days earlier. So, I mean, I can kind of understand where people are coming from. Like, why wouldn't you just normally release the game 4 days earlier? You know, I mean, even if it gets to the store a week earlier, then what, they hold on to that and they're not allowed to sell it?
Yeah. Because marketing of their game is corresponding to a date. And the date they've set is, what, 3 months, 4 months early? Like, we find release dates months ahead of time. Everything's moving to that part. But you got to have a couple extra days because if things occur, you don't want to miss that deadline. So you're working backwards to it. So games always get there a couple days early. That's why GameStop employees always.
Release this game 4 days earlier, will they ship to the stores even earlier than that?
I don't know. That's a good question. But the other thing is, if a game's a physical release, meaning it's on disc as well as digital. It'll have been ready for digital release, I don't know, weeks or ahead of time, because it takes weeks to make the discs and deliver them out to the different regions. It's ready if you're doing disc-based releases. the discs, that whole process means it's digitally ready to go like a couple weeks before it actually comes out. So it's kind of silly. Like, that's just how the nature of the beast for this kind of things.
Well, I know they're selling this on Steam, and I assume they're going to be doing digital copies as well, but Tier 3 is extra in-game mission. Mm. So if enough people buy it, you get an extra mission in the game. I don't know. So now it's just like if you buy enough, you know, if they sell enough pre-orders, then you get more of a game. Yeah, this is all. I feel like this is all treading on dangerous territory. Like, this could start bad marketing habits. I don't know. This could be the first step in a dangerous direction, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I agree with that. This is something that is very... you're like, it's kind of a moral middle ground, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Do you feel good about these things? They obviously made that extra mission because it's available. So yeah. If you don't hit the pre-purchase goal, does that mean then
it's a DLC they're going to sell it? Or what? I don't know.
Of course, they don't show you numbers, so they could just have this ready to go. And this is just
arbitrary.
It's all arbitrary. Yeah. Like, it could just be ticking up and it's already going to go through tier 5 and they already know it.
Yeah.
It's on a side note, I will say this is the prettiest thing I saw at E3.
You know, that's what I said about Human Revolution back in the day. Like, they made such a big deal about the graphics on that game. And then when it came out, I was like, yeah, they're good. But, you know, it wasn't like my mind was blown. I don't know. It does look good.
Has your mind ever been blown, Bobby?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been blown.
The first Far Cry was pretty ridiculous.
Far Cry 1. No, I love Far Cry 1. I actually played the demo of that game because it was free, and then I was like, I have got to get this game.
Yeah, the demo was, it came in a PC Gamer, like,
on the disc.
On the disc, yeah.
Included with your magazine. The kids have no idea what we're talking about.
So I'm running low on battery here, so I got to run through these real quick.
Okay.
PC Gamer did their top 100 games of all time. The things jump around quite a bit, and and it's funny. You would think that older games would move down, but sometimes they move up. You know, their crew moves around. They attribute so many points to each game and blah, blah, blah. So as people, anyway, there's movement, and then we'll see what we could think. 10, Fallout New Vegas.
Never played it.
Used to be number 59.
That game's been out for a while, but I feel like the older games moving up, that
nostalgia.
They do that not just because of nostalgia, but they, if a game first comes out and you're like, this is amazing, you got to wait a while and then see if it still holds up, if the value is still there. And then if it does, then yeah, that's a credible game.
They try to take nostalgia out of it, actually. They said, this is strictly what you would recommend to your friends.
The other thing is sometimes a game does something weird or unique, but then it becomes part of, like, the standard. And I think a lot of people give...
a lot of points for that.
Points to
and
that.
That goes for number 9, Portal.
Yeah.
Not Portal 2, because it was just more of the same. Even though it was a great game, and maybe even a better game, Portal, you know, broke the mold.
Yeah.
And you could get done with it in 2 hours.
And it had that song at the end. That was a lot of, like...
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
See, number 8 is Deus Ex, the original. Mm. And... I tried playing it. I tried playing that too.
I couldn't get
too many buttons too.
Yeah.
Well, that was like the original FPS RPG. Well, maybe System Shock was, but Deus Ex really was like a landmark game. I remember playing that like shortly after it came out. I still only made it halfway through the game, and it's like a 30-hour game if you go through the whole thing. But going back and playing it now, I don't know if it holds up. Like those. Just the mechanics and the gameplay and just controlling your character are just so difficult. And the graphics are whew.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I don't know. It shouldn't be this high on this list, but it is. So that's what these lists are for. So you could disagree with them.
Yeah.
7 is Grand Theft Auto 5.
Do you guys agree with that?
I really like that.
I don't think it's the best Grand Theft Auto. I thought the Grand Theft Auto 3, was it 3?
3 City?
What was the first one?
Yeah, 3 was the first one where they changed from that top-down view. Yeah, 3 I'd say started it all.
So. Yeah, like a genre creator. That was a genre creator.
Yeah, right. Sandbox. Although, open world.
5, I haven't played enough to really weigh in on this, but I think 5 just kind of perfected it. 3 introduced it, set the standard, created it, but 5 really perfected it.
The only problem with 5 is the menus. for me.
I mean, fucking load times.
Three goddamn.
Yeah, the load times are ridiculous.
They changed the menus. Well, the main menu a little bit after an update. I noticed before that was plucked. From
three
my
grown
account.
Men couldn't figure out how to fucking start a group and get into an online game. We had to have a lab monkey show us around.
Yeah,
that's what happened. It was ridiculous.
Three grown men led around by a monkey.
I wonder how that happens, because that happens in so many games where you're like, this UI makes no fucking sense. Like, what person created this and was like, oh, obviously, you click here, you click there, you move this here.
It's blinders, because once you start developing that, you know the path that you need to take, and it seems intuitive to you.
Right.
That's why they have focus groups and stuff like that that people do.
It's like the creator of the maze obviously thinks the maze is easy.
Exactly.
Right. Dishonored is number six.
Okay. You guys like that game. I didn't like it as much.
I really like the art
direction.
I
didn't play it as much either.
The art direction and the world they created was pretty nice. Gameplay was a little slow. I don't like stealth, so, but that's a personal thing. Five, Skyrim.
Okay, obviously. Makes sense. Yeah. These better be really good at this point.
Four is Team Fortress 2.
Okay.
Which last year was seven. Just kind of one of those things.
Yeah.
BioShock the original is number
four. I downloaded BioShock off
Bobby's account,
but every time I tried to get into it, I didn't feel like going into it. Is it worth going into?
The original BioShock?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. I haven't played that game in about 5 years, but I played one and two like almost back to back. Two, you could skip two, but one, yeah, one's good.
Okay.
Still, Infinite's the best though. Like that.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. It's got all that old stuff with post-modern. So, 2 is Mass Effect 2, which...
Is 2 considered the best of the series?
Yeah.
Because I really like 3.
I like 3, too.
I played 2 and 3, and I like 3 better.
Everyone does say 2.
But 2 is the more RPG-ish, right? Or
yeah, it's more RPG-ish. Like, you're dealing with more inventory and kind of like building up your dudes
with their
individual. And of course, number one is Half-Life 2. Which
Has anybody played Half-Life 2 recently? I'm wondering how much nostalgia, because people consider Half-Life 2 as the best game, but I haven't played that since it came out.
Well, it has everything that we've mentioned so far. As a nostalgia, it has the game changing, and it has just a good game as itself.
What was the game changing part of it?
Physics, I think physics in a 2D.
Yeah, the gravity gun.
Yeah, the gravity gun. Deal,
ragdoll physics.
Ragdoll physics.
I remember just seeing early demos of that game where you'd be playing at that, burnt out playground with the swing set and a little spinny wheel, and they just show off, like, use a gravity gun, throw something into the spinning wheel, it keeps spinning and slows down. Like, it was pretty impressive at the time. And a lot of games followed in the footsteps of that, but I haven't played. I played Episode 1 maybe a year or two ago, and I don't know. Those games are a lot slower than I remember. Like, there's a lot more like puzzles and a lot less action than I remember in the original Half-Life and Episode 1 and 2. If you get into Opposing Force, I think that one was a little quicker paced. But...
Is Half-Life 2 the one where you start off and you're kind of like in a subway station?
No, that's Black Mesa. That's
no, it's not the first one. Half-Life 1, you're in the tram.
The tram. Like,
oh,
both
of
you start
in
a tram.
Yeah,
it's not like...
It's a subway or whatever.
Yeah, you come to the end and dividing people up.
They take
stuff.
Pictures of you.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Half-Life 2. So...
Next week, what do we plan? I'm going to try to get into Otherworld out... Hopefully, we'll give you guys a decent review of it next week.
Oh, I heard there was a huge revamping of has a world in it where there's
World of Warcraft?
Secret World.
Hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. Apparently, it's a lot more accessible for new players. I've heard it's a great game. Chad loved it.
I loved it
for one day.
No, I played that for like a month straight. I was liking it.
And apparently, it's. All the currencies, there's only one currency now, and it's all streamlined. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, it might be a good time to jump in.
Awesome. And that's free.
I'll be finishing up Mad Max this week for sure, because I'm addicted. I've been playing like 5 hours.
Are you almost through it?
I'm taking my time, that's the thing, too.
You're doing all the side quests and stuff.
Yeah, and whatever. Ooh, shiny, ooh, shiny, ooh, shiny. And then,
I think it's cool that the regions, like, you know how many scraps are in each region, so you mm-hmm. can actually try to be a perfectionist.
And then check them off the
list. There's actually more than what you can see. You can unlock, because there's people begging for water. Like, they're about to die, you give them water, they tell you where a new one is.
You know, when I first saw one of those people, I just instinctively ran them over, thinking they were a war boy or something.
Yeah.
And I thought the water icon above their head meant that they had water. I'm like, oh, water. Brr. And I got out, and I'm like, uh-oh.
I saw one on the ground, and he had a water icon. That's the thing, the unscripted things. He had a water icon, so I pulled over, and I was like, oh, maybe I can bring... No, he was dead. He's like, so somebody else had ran him. War boys break down all the time. They're, like, on the side of the road, and they're trying to work on their shit. Totally unscripted. It's pretty cool.
So you can just come in and own them?
Oh, I forgot to... yeah, you can just run them while they're working on the car.
You can harpoon them out of the driver's seat, the car just keeps going.
That's the most fun thing in this...
But you destroy the car to get parts, right? Like, that's part of the mechanic? So if the car's, like, just sitting there, can you just pull everything off of it?
Unless you build into the cleanup crew, and they automatically pick up all the scrap that you blow up and from anything. Huh. You don't have to stop and do
so
it.
So I haven't gotten that far into the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll be playing more Mad Max too, definitely. I'm not as far into the game. I might check out Her Story. I had forgot that I bought that game, and then I saw it in my library again, or something reminded me, so I made sure to favorite it, so I won't forget. But yeah, I want to see what that's
It's all on
about.
Mobile as well. It's on the iPhone.
Yeah, I don't do mobile.
I'm just saying for other people.
Although I did like Hitman Go, and I heard they came out with a Tomb Raider Go or something like that. So maybe I'll check that one out.
So I don't like mobile, except for this one.
Except for like one or two games. I'm very picky when it comes to mobile, I guess I should say.
Happy Wheels. Fun.
You could try out Sum Sum. That's the one I play.
Sum Sum?
Bobby, look up Doki Doki.
Sum Sum. But yeah, I won't get into that.
All right. Well, what are you getting into next week?
Otherworld. That's what I'm trying to get into.
Otherworld? All right.
I guess we're all done.
Yeah. Cool. Give us the spiel, Bobby. No.
Just the website. That's all he says.
DLGaming.net.
There you go.
Check us out at DLGaming.net. You can find our YouTube, Twitter channel on there, iTunes. You can subscribe to the podcast there. Leave us a review. Help us out. That also enters you in our review raffles. We're giving away Steam gift cards. Just about every week now, we're giving one away. And if you leave a review, then we just pick a random number and find out which review that is, and you could be the lucky winner.
Yeah. Cool.
And speaking for Bobby, Chad, and myself, titties.